Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cullen turns, looking for options. Ball picking out to Taylor on the edge of the penalty area. Can he get it under control again? He does. Oh, lovely turn, and he's pulled to the ground, and it's a penalty for Charlton. Well, Taylor did superbly well to beat two players. One of them was Buxton. Didn't quite see who the other one was, but it was the other one who dragged him down. I'm just trying to wait returns around. I think it was Jamie Allen who dragged Lyle Taylor back, and the referee had no hesitation in pointing to the spot.
Well, what great footwork from Lyle Taylor. Gets the ball. It's a great little pick out from Josh Cullen. And Taylor, whether he means it or not, I don't know, but it's a lovely little turn, and he got a little trip on the back of his leg and went down. The referee gave the decision. I was worried when the referee pointed initially. It took an age to point to the spot, and Lyle Taylor's about to step up. Can he convert?
No, I should rephrase that. He had no hesitation in blowing, but he did have a hesitation in where he was pointing, I agree. And it is Taylor who steps up. I think it was actually Brayford he turned, and he steps up for a penalty in front of the covered end. Lyle Taylor stepping forward, strikes it, left footed, right-footed into the right-hand corner, and Charlton have the lead. Superbly cool penalty from Lyle Taylor.
Oh, as calm as you like from the Charlton striker. Took an age to go and step up. It's almost like Paul Pogba-esque the way he walked up to the penalty, and it struck it so nicely down to the keeper's right. He dived the other way, and Charlton have the lead.
Long ball down now, looking for the run of Fraser, being held up by Cullen. Back it comes to Templeton, who cuts inside Chris Solly to the edge of the penalty area. It's a ricocheted shot, and then he's given a penalty, the referee. It was a shot that, by a calling to the referee, has come off a Charlton hand, and he's given a penalty to the visitors. That came from nothing. I didn't even see anybody appeal.
I didn't see any indication of a potential handball whatsoever. I'm a little bit bemused. And I think it's given against Patrick Bauer. That's very, very harsh. I mean, we'll have to try and see that again.
I didn't even see the incident. I heard the contact, but nobody appealed. Nothing. And suddenly the ref has pointed to the spot. You can only assume that Patrick Bauer had his hand outstretched to stop the ball going towards goal.
But what a chance until we see that again, to get back in the game.
It's going to be Aikins to take the penalty. Can Dylan Phillips keep Charlton in this? 18 minutes gone. Aikins steps forward in front of the Jimmy Seed and scores, and it's 1-0.
Aribo looking for a little bit of movement backwards to Cullen. Cullen out to the right hand side and Solly. Solid ball down to line to Taylor's a good one. Taylor crossing opportunity. Taylor drills it in.
What a header!
Ben Reeves diving.
Superb finish.
What a diving header from Ben Reeves. Great football from Charlton on the counter attack. Joe Aribo bringing the ball forward out to the right hand side was Lyle Taylor. Ball to the back post was inch perfect for Ben Reeves with a superb diving header. He couldn't have executed that any better than the Charlton midfielder. And Charlton restore the lead.
Oh, great work from Charlton. Just when Joe Aribo picked up the ball from a loose touch in the just outside the Charlton penalty area, really, maybe 10 yards. And he went on the run on that right-hand side. And he almost like he either ran out of ideas or ran out of puff. He tried to pick out Tariq Foster in the middle, which was the ball, but it was a ball that was just behind him, and it sort of stalled the move. He got it back, Joe, and then you think, well, that's the momentum gone. Had to pick out Josh Cullen, who spotted Chris Solly on the right. The ball into the box to Lyle Taylor's run was perfectly timed. And then the thunderous cross, really, from Lyle Taylor. And you saw Josh Parker not even getting close to it, and you thought maybe the chance had gone. But there was Ben Rees with a superb diving header to put Charlton back in the lead, and a great move that looked like it had finished. Brayford will take over, but his ball out is picked up by Marshall, and that's the end
of the
game.
Get in there.
And Charlton have sinned this game out.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to look back at the win over Burton Albion and ahead to the visit to Bristol Rovers are Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the game on Tuesday?
It was all right. First half was all right.
Second half was really boring, actually.
Much the same yesterday as well with the women's game.
Like a mirror image of two games the same. Joining the pair of us here at the Valley is Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, just going to stay in your seat this week?
Yes. Yeah. After last week, it didn't really have the same effect when you listen back, does it?
No, not really. It was more a joke for us within the studio, which
just a bit of internal banter.
Yeah. You can get cream for that, I understand. Right, on tonight's show, like I said, we will look back at that game with Burton Albion. We're going to hear from the manager, Lee Bowyer, after the game. We're also going to hear from the match winner, Ben Rees. Then when we get to about the half an hour in, we're going to start looking back at yesterday's women's game against Millwall. They beat them here at the Valley 3-0. We've got an audio diary from our trip to watch that game, including interviews with Liz Ajupi and Ritesh Mishra. Then, of course, we will focus on looking ahead to Saturday's trip to the Mem to take on the Bristol Rovers. We're going to hear from Tom from the Gascast podcast. And, of course, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer again, who's going to update on the state of the squad and the injuries and whatnot as we head down to the southwest. So, Tom, 2-1 win over Burton Albion. All the hard work was in the first half, I think.
Yeah, it's one of them where you just go away and you're pleased you got the 3 points. We started really well. That first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we could have been about 3-0 up. Obviously did get the goal early on, and I then was very, very comfortable, thought this was going to be a bit of a cruise and maybe finally a team was going to get the hiding that we promised a few of them. And then they got back into it. I'm sure we'll debate the handball a little bit. And then it was a little bit nervy. And even after we went 2-1 up that second half, I think we largely controlled it in terms of possession. But you're always on edge, aren't you, when you're just a goal ahead. But we managed to cling on. And like I say, when you then leave the ground, the performance and the match doesn't actually matter. The only thing that does is the 3 points. And it's another win at home to extend that record. And a pleasing result in the end.
Yeah, Lyle Taylor with the early penalty within the first 5 or 6 minutes there, Nathan. That run-up, I think, it seemed to take about 4 minutes. It's the slowest run-up I've ever seen, other than Pogba for Man United. But, good penalty. Set us on our way. And then they get back into it, the handball against Bauer. I mean, Lee Bowyer wasn't too happy. Did you have a view on whether that should have been a penalty for Burton?
Excuse me. Well, at first glance, I thought it was the challenge from the side when he tried getting his shot away. I didn't even know it was handball until I got home. But they obviously made a game of it. I thought they were a good side. I thought a lot better than Portsmouth. I thought Burton were a really good side. I mean, that second half, they absolutely battered us. And I think they probably just be gutted they didn't get anything out of the game.
Nigel Clough said afterwards that he felt his luck hadn't been in against Charlton throughout the season. Obviously, we had that smash and grab at the Pirelli earlier on in the season. He also said he hoped that Charlton get promoted just so he doesn't have to suffer playing against us again. Now, I made a brilliant joke on Twitter when the second goal went in about Ben Rees, Christopher Reeve, Superman diving header. It's brilliant. It went over a lot of people's heads, which was a shame.
But the ball didn't go over his head.
Didn't go over Ben Reeves' head, though. That was a superb diving header. And he says it himself. I mean, with that massive head he's got to get a few more like that, really, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think, didn't he in the post-match, I'm sure we'll hear it in a bit, didn't he say he'd never scored one before coming to Charlton with his head as well?
Yeah, and now he's got three.
And now he's got two or three, yeah. So, yeah, and what's really pleasing is, obviously, since Carlin's left, we've had this debate a few times about the lack of goals and the lack of that killer instinct in the final third. And we saw it even ever since Bowyer came in. In fact, even back to Robinson, trying to get those midfielders to make those runs into the box. And Jake started to do it, obviously, before he got his injury. And then, as I say, especially with Carlin going, you're now looking at the likes of him and Williams and Fosu and Aribo and saying, right, get in the box. And we know Aribo can do it. And Reeves is just starting to now. And I've been really impressed with his last 5 or 6 performances. I think it might have come too late, and we'll see what happens in the summer in terms of his contract. And, you know, he's not blowing me away by any means, but he's definitely improving, and he's closer to the player I think we thought we'd signed. And it was a really good run and lovely build-up as well. Really patient play from all of the team, and a wicked cross in from Lyle Taylor. And yeah, he's got himself into the right place, and he couldn't really miss, could he? It's just sort of bounced off his head and in. So yeah, really good for him to get another goal.
Yeah, certainly. And as we know, statistically, it was always likely to go in off that massive head, as we said. Now, second half, it wasn't the most exciting, but as we say, we get that win. Peterborough lose again, so now we've got an 11-point gap. I mean, I said on Sunday that I was fairly confident we were going to finish in the playoffs. In fact, I called it. I said it's definite. And just to prove me even more correct, it's up to 11 points now, the gap, Nath.
Yeah, it's a nice little cushion. But I don't think, even though it is highly unlikely we'll go on an insane bad run of form and come out of it, but I think we still need to try and keep that momentum going, because if, like we saw, the teams are above, will drop points. I don't know if it'll be enough for us to make the top two, but you can only play what's in front of you, and you win those games. And if they do slip up to a few more times, then we need to be in a position where we can sort of capitalise on it. So I think, looking at the run-ins, I think Sunderland's got a hard run-in. And we just got to win each game and don't get complacent, because we know that you can turn up and lose easily to a Rochdale or, you know, a Fleetwood or something.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear what Lee Bayer had to say after that win over Burton. He was, of course, pleased with the victory, but admitted that tiredness seemed to come into play in that second half.
I'm not surprised, because the efforts that we put in on Saturday was immense. And they're human beings, you know, like, it's not just that the pitch was heavy. We've had all that rain today. The groundsman done great to get the game on, but it was soft. And it was draining, you know. And but again, like I've said before, not every game's going to be beautiful. It's not everything. Like Saturday was perfect. We played well. We kept the ball. Had great possession. Today wasn't like that. And not all games are like that. And again, for me, so pleasing, because we grind out results. In the past, last season, we weren't grinding out results. And They're the signs of good teams that do well. That when you're not playing at your best, but you still win against good teams, by the way. They're a good team. They've just come down from the Championship last season and they've got some good players. So again, get 6 points against them this season, we've done very well.
Well, you obviously know what to expect, because up at the Pirelli, they gave us a bit of a dunking, and we still came away with the 3 points. So you knew what was coming. But good start. Lyle Taylor getting the penalty in the first five. Must have thought it's a good stable start that you can build on. But obviously, then coming straight back into it. Any thoughts on the penalty that hit Patrick Bauer?
Yeah, what can he do? He's blooming 3 yards away. He's coming out to block the shot. When you run, your arms don't run with your arms stuck by down your sides, do you? So he's running out to block the shot. The fella's blasted it from 3 yards away. He can't move his arm. Like, what's he meant to do? Like, it's not even possible. I don't know. I don't get it, me. I don't get it. And I guarantee you, I speak to the people in charge of the referees, and they say, no, sorry, it shouldn't have been a penalty. Like, it's no good. You know, like, and then we get exactly the same thing, maybe 10 minutes later, whatever it was, and then they didn't give us the penalty. It's exactly the same situation. One of our players has gone to cross it or shoot, whatever he was doing, and they sit there, their fella on the arm. Well, like, what's the difference? There's no difference. I wouldn't mind. The fella's shot, it wasn't even going on target. It was got closer to the blooming corner flag than it was to the goal. So, like, what's, I don't know. I don't get it, mate. Again, these big decisions, like, going against us, it's wrong.
It's probably something we're probably going to have to put up with, because next season the rule changes and they're going to be given left, right and centre, those sort of decisions. So I suppose if we're going to get used to it, better start now.
I don't mind, as long as everyone gets them. Yeah. Like, it's got to be fair. Like, like today, there was two. Both exactly the same in both boxes. They get theirs, we don't get ours. So I don't mind if it's consistent, but it has to be the same. For both teams, can't just have one rule for one rule for another, because that is wrong.
But the character from the side is there, and probably the best move of the game resulted in at least one of them resulted in Ben Reeves flinging himself full length to get across onto that cross from Lyle Taylor. A, delighted for Ben Reeves. You know, you want midfield players to score. But B, just to show the character to come back and take the lead again.
Yeah. But that's what we're about, you know. We have a bit of everything. We have to fight. We have the competitive side, but we can also play. And again, I'm over the moon for Ben to be getting in the box, scoring another goal, you know. Keep telling him, get in the box, and yeah, now he's getting rewarded for it, and he will keep getting in the box. If you get rewarded, you're going to keep going there, aren't you? I have to say, what a cross, though. Mm. What a cross. Great cross. I think the movement of Lowell troubled him all day. And,
we keep on running through a red light, like we're trying to burn the night away.
Fosu exchanges passes to Rebo. Fosu picks it up, touch to Aribo. Fosu again, picks about a shot, goes for it!
Oh!
What a goal! By Tariq Fosu, who cuts inside onto his right foot and unleashes a ripper past Thomas Holy, dive to his left, couldn't do anything about it, and Charlton have their second in some style from Tariq Fosu.
There we go, Lee Bowyer speaking to Terry after Tuesday evening's home win over Burton Albion here at the Valley. A little bit of interesting stuff came out in his press day about his contract. I mean, he said last week that he was sort of informally told he was going to be offered one, but I mean, he still hasn't heard anything as of today, he was saying. So, I mean, I know we probably say this every week, but it's a bit odd that we're not offering the manager who's doing so well a contract. And you just worry that, I mean, hopefully they won't be so stupid as to not offer him like a proper contract now, you know, whether it's a year or 2 years, but on proper wages, you know, not to disrespect him the way that at times they had other players.
Yeah, I think that's the worry, because he's so important to us at the moment, to everything we're doing. Not only has he done well in terms of his management, but the players that we're relying on to sign new contracts as well, I'm sure there's a fair amount of them just waiting for him to sign. So it's a real concern, and he thinks he's going to be offered one, and we have to assume that that's right. But I don't understand, therefore, why they're taking such a long time to do it, and that's a concern. But I'm not too worried just yet, but give it another few weeks. If it doesn't seem like it's happened, then I'll start to worry for sure.
Yeah, certainly. With the points gap, as we were saying, Nate, obviously that puts us in an interesting position in terms of how we attack the rest of the season. Now, George Burkett tweeted in, just been looking at our running, and to be honest, I don't see a game in there that we can't win. A lot of teams are in the bottom half. The one tricky game will be Luton, but we're so strong at the Valley that I fancy us to get a result. I mean, just because we might be playing a little bit with the pressure off now. Mm. I mean, will that, you know, catapult us to an amazing run that could even start to have Barnsley ever so slightly worried? Or, I mean, that is pie in the sky thinking. Or will we take the foot off the gas? I mean, Bayer said on Tuesday that we won't, but I guess there's always a danger that we might get a little bit complacent now and just think about meandering towards the end of the season and not getting too many injuries, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think if they do get a bit complacent, I think Bayes will obviously give his opinion on it, to be polite, and they probably won't play, because I don't think Bowyer knows any other way than to try and win a game and give 100%. I think we all think, you know, top two might be a bit too far, but you never know. Anything can happen in this game, but we just need to keep winning games. And we have got an easier run in per se, but you have got teams down the bottom there, the likes of Rochdale and stuff, are fighting for their lives, so it's not going to be easy. I think if we get to the last sort of three games or something, and then maybe we'd start maybe resting players. But I mean, not yet though. I've still a long way to go.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Our home form, well, not weird, it's great, Tom. Our home form has been so impressive this season. Mm. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we're so strong at home this year?
I think the relationship between the crowd and the team is very good. I know that the issue hasn't necessarily always been with the team, although in fairness, sometimes it has under Roland, because of the players that have come in and haven't really looked like they've cared. I also think the atmosphere that Bowyer has managed to create, not just with the fans, but with the players as well, he's made it into an intimidating place. And the style of football we like to play is on the front foot. It's fast, it's quick, and teams try and come here and sit back and we pick them apart, and other teams try and come at us and we're able to get through them as well. So I think we've got a style that lends itself to attacking decent football, and at home when you've got a decent crowd behind you, and I know numbers are down, but they are, it is still a big crowd for this level, a loud crowd as well, and you know we can make this place into a bit of a fortress, and we can, you know, get the Valley rocking, and when we do, it must be intimidating for other teams. And I think once you get on that roll and you build that confidence, it only takes a few results early on, and then the players, the more times they come out, will start to think, well, we've got nothing to fear here. And as I say, that's kind of just spiralled, which is good. And we've had a fairly good home record last year as well, and I know we're looking to supersede that this year, but I just think, yeah, it's the culture around the club. Obviously, off the pitch and ownership wise hasn't changed, but on the pitch, and certainly the work that Bowyer has done, it has made a difference, I think.
Now, of course, the 90% head, 10% man that got the goal on Tuesday evening, the winning goal was Ben Reeves. Difficult performance, though, in terms of the entire team in that second half. Charlton really took their foot. Well, really looked a bit leggy, perhaps, to say, in that second period. But Ben says that the most important thing was to get the 3 points.
Obviously, for me, the most important thing was the 3 points. It was always going to be tough after Saturday. Obviously, it took a lot out of the boys, and always does, I think, because it's such a big game. It's always hard to do that again on a Tuesday night against another good side as well, one of the better teams in the league, I think. So the most important thing was just the result tonight.
And the conditions on the pitch, obviously, with all the rain today, you could have done without it being heavy, which, yeah, I'm sure it was, to add to the problems.
Yeah, it was obviously difficult. Physically, I think, a very demanding game. But boys stuck up to it and did well in that situation, I think, because it was difficult. Like I say, they moved the ball around well as well, so it's hard for us. They used their fullbacks well, get out, so we have to do a lot of running. It was just one of them games, I think, we had to grind it out, and we did.
The second half especially looked like a bit of a slugfest where the tiredness looked like it was kicking in. But in the dressing room, is it just a case of, you know, 3 points, we won it, and momentum's still there?
Yeah, definitely, I think. If you look at those two games and you think we've got Portsmouth and then we've got Burton, to take 6 points from that, I think it's brilliant, I think. I think anyone would have been buzzing off that at the start of the on Saturday morning. Like I say, now we've just got to rest and recover again and then go again Saturday.
Take the lead in the first five would have settled people, you know, settled everybody down and thinking we can move on from here. But the penalty we got, I mean, difficult to see from where we were, but striking Patrick Bass' hand. Did you get a view of
it? Oh, I was right in front of it, yeah. I thought it was harsh. Yeah. The shot, because obviously the shot is not going in, nowhere near. I think sometimes you've got to think about if it's going in, the referee maybe has got a decision to make, but it was going miles wide, so I don't know how it's a penalty, to be honest.
So I'm feeling a bit hard done by for that, so it needed somebody to step up and put us back in the lead. And you've thrown yourself at what was a fizzed cross from Martin. Josh Parker wasn't that far in front of you, did you? Was there just a thought that he might get there before you? And
to be honest, I just thought I knew I had to do my best to get in the back stick. Fortunately, the defender gave me a yard or two of space and didn't go for it, so I had almost like a good sight of it the whole way through. And obviously, it's a big forehead as well. So,
I was going to ask the same question. Scored many with the head?
No, I've never scored with my head before I come to Charlton, and it's my third now, so hopefully they keep coming. I'm used to score most of my goals from outside the box, and it seems to have changed now, and hope. As long as the goal is helping the team, that's the most important thing.
There's something good is worked on, getting into the box, especially in midfield.
Yeah, Jacko was doing some stuff with George Latsley the other day, and I asked to join in. And it was pretty much exactly like what the goal was. Timing your run into the box and getting your head on it.
Quite clear, obviously, with the injuries, Christian Billick and Johnny Williams out today, that everybody's going to have to play their part in the running. Probably the same again on Saturday, I'm guessing.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I don't know the extent of the injuries or what's the case for them too. But we're a good squad, and I think we need to keep the confidence in the squad, not just a few of the players. It needs to be the confidence needs to come from the whole squad. And like I say, we've got one of the best squads in the league, I think, and it's the chance now for some of the boys to show that as well, and hopefully we can.
Just in terms of your future, there was a graphic by Sky in six. I was at the game, but you're one of the players that's out of contract, aren't you, at the end of the season? How do you kind of feel about that? what's the sort of dynamic for you when you play at the moment?
I've just got to work hard and do my best for the team. That's all I'm trying to do at the moment. And my aim is for us to get promoted, and that's what I want. And for Charlton as well. And like I said a minute ago, I'm lucky to be here and lucky to play for this club in this stadium. And hopefully that continues.
Yeah, but are you quite relaxed about your own situation?
Yeah.
So there we go, Ben Reeves talking after his headed goal won Tuesday evening's game against Burton Albion here at the Valley. Richard Corley there asking him towards the end about his contract situation. Every time we interview a player, it's pretty much a question that we have to ask all of them, because many players are running out of their contract at the end of this season. Reeves doesn't seem too worried about it at the moment, Tom. I mean, would you be dishing out a new deal to him?
I think I would, yeah. As I said, I don't think he would be our best player in the Championship if we were to get there, but I think he'd be all right, and he's improved a lot recently, and if he continues that kind of upward form, then I think he could be a useful player to have around. But it does depend what league we're in. If we were to be in League One again next year, which obviously I hope we're not, then I definitely think he deserves another contract. If we were to go up, like I say, I personally would give him one as well, but I know there'll be people who think he hasn't really done enough in his time here, and I think that's a legitimate point of view as well.
Do you think there'll be many suitors in League One, for example, if we haven't signed him by the end of the season, who would take a punt on him and maybe try and take him off our hands if we don't offer a decent deal?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a good player for League One. It took a while for him to get settled in because he obviously had those injuries and that, but I think Tom said earlier he's starting to show now what he can do. And I mean, there's certain games he's come on and changed games, and games he started. And from when he first came on the scene with Robbo and he was playing in that 10, I found him really ineffective. He used to get marked out of the game, he used to get muscled off the ball, he didn't sort of drag out wide, he just sat in that hole and he never really done much. But since we've been playing this narrow diamond, he's having to work hard, and I think he's bringing the best out of him. So I think there'll be plenty of suitors if, but I'm with Tom, I'd give him another year for sure.
Yeah, certainly. I think he's done just about enough here at the club. In terms of course, the midfielders as a whole, there is a lot of competition in those positions as well, which is probably going to bring the best out of him.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that from all the midfielders this season because we have got that strength in depth. I think we obviously chatted to Bowyer last night, but I think we've seen the best midfield we've got to offer over the last couple of games. Johnny and Ben Reeves seem very interchangeable. Fosu, just speaking about him off air there, we're still seeing glimpses, aren't we? But he's still not the player he was last year. But I mean, Bielik and Cullen, particular, and Aribo are all just outstanding players. And the concern for me would be, irrespective of whether we go up or not, two of those are loanees, and Aribo is, you know, being looked at by Premier League clubs. So that would be my worry. But for the rest of this season, certainly while we've got them all, that competition is healthy, and for the most part, people are improving their performances as a result.
Yeah, interesting, some of the stuff that Bowie was saying last night here at the women's game. He was talking about how Johnny Williams has almost taken on a role that Carlin Grant had in terms of, with Carlin's pace, where he was able to stretch teams with his running. He feels that Johnny Williams can do the same on the ball, and therefore it's a slightly different way of doing things. But Johnny Williams is running on the ball, can stretch teams in a similar way to how Carlin Grant was doing when he was here. They're very interesting. Bowie was certainly enjoying the women's game yesterday. He's finding it very interesting. Some of the subtle differences between the games, but he was tactically impressed as well. Had a couple of tweets in as well. David Nichols says, "I wonder what fiasco is more likely to be solved first, Roland's ownership or Brexit?" I mean, we're no Brexit experts in here, and well, no one's an expert on Roland's ownership because no one knows what way that's going to go. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's a way to bet on that. I think I'd probably go Brexit first than Roland. Yeah. Right, let's have a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to have our audio diary from the women's game. We've still got, of course, Bristol Rovers away to look ahead to as well. Back in 30 seconds.
Quickly rolled it out, and Dick Steele can benefit, and does, picks it off and finds Reeves out to the right hand side, approaching the corner of the penalty area on his left. gets the ball across to Fosu on the opposite side. Fosu takes on his man, gets past him as well. Ball into Reeves, into the six-yard box.
Yes!
Goal! There it is! What a lovely ball from Tariq Fosu to pick out Reeves, who kept his run going, and he slots it past Holy for the opening goal.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Your big match preview looking ahead to Bristol Rovers away in a few moments' time. But last night here on Wednesday evening at the Valley, it was Charlton Athletic women against Millwall Lionesses. An emotional evening for the club, celebrating the life of former Addicks goalkeeper Jordan Dawes, who sadly passed away aged 18 recently. So they had a minute's applause for her before the game. But then they got on with the business of the match and they ran out comfortable winners against Millwall. Now let's have a listen to the diary of myself, Tom and Terry, who were there last night. This is what we had to say on a very decent performance by Ratisha's side. So here we are, it's Wednesday night. We're here at the Valley for Charlton Athletic Women versus the Millwall Lionesses. Terry and Tom both here with me. Tom, first time we've seen the women in action for a little while. Still harbouring outside hopes at the top two and against a resurgent Millwall side who are bottom of the league, but they've had a couple of good results in the last few weeks, so not perhaps the walkover that it was with the 8-0 away win earlier on in the season.
Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it? I haven't seen them play live since the first game of the season, where obviously it started so well, but they have continued that form, and yes, they're, as you say, maybe dropping away from that top two places now, but considering where they were last season and to come into this new league, I think they've done fantastically well, and great for them to get the reward of playing another game at the Valley under the lights. Obviously did that last season we were here against West Ham. And yes, Millwall have improved recently, but that derby feel and that the confidence they'll hopefully have from that win earlier in the season, you've got to back the Charlton girls.
Sizeable crowd in already, about 5-10 minutes before kick-off, Terry. Notable in the team news as well that Charlotte Kerr's back after that nasty injury she had during the Man United game, so it's great to see her back for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. With all the importance of the fixture itself, the fact that Charlotte's come away from what looked like quite a horrific injury and is back playing is great news. And of course, Charlton leader. She's an integral part of the team, so it's important that she's playing. And an important, as you mentioned earlier, this Millwall side have picked up. Apparently, they've brought a whole new group of young players in, and have performed well in the last few games. So this is not going to be the 8-0 cakewalk that the first game was.
And of course, we should mention that tonight's game dedicated to Jordan Dawes, the former Charlton goalkeeper who sadly passed away. And so it'll be an important night for the girls out there to try and pay their respects to her with a good performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned about the importance that Charlotte was safe and well, and so the news of the tragic and untimely and young death of a young lady it puts everything into perspective, and you just want them to go out there, enjoy themselves. Of course, we want the win, but yeah, the fact that this is dedicated to her is great.
With a referee's whistle. Thank you.
84 minutes gone, and finally the Addicts have the breakthrough. Wonderful cross from Nizza Juppin. There's Kip Graham at the far post. He tuck it home, and finally, really, because the Addicts have been absolutely dominant in this game so far, Tom.
Yeah, we've had so many chances. We're by far the better side. Really good quality across the team. Don't seem overawed by playing in such a big stadium this time, which is obviously a positive as well. And yeah, I'd say we've completely dominated the game, and you've kicked Graham a chance from 2 yards out. You put your house on her scoring, and she did, and yeah, we deserve to be in front. Yeah,
we were just complimenting Lizza Juppie's footwork over on this side of the pitch, and all of a sudden she pops up inside the penalty area, takes it past her player, and then sticks the inch-perfect crossover to the far post.
Yeah, she's been the standout player, Lizza Juppie, at the moment. She's controlling the ball when she's got it, and been at the best of all the plays that we've had, and it was only a matter of time, really. And as well, Kit Graham, lovely footwork, hasn't really had the rub of the green until getting at the right in the right spot at the right time.
10 minutes before the break, the Addicts take a 1-0 lead. I think we've just heard the sound of floodgates opening, chaps. It's Charlton 2, Millwall 0, a close-range finish from Charlotte Gurr. It was good work from Charlotte Kerr picking it up inside the area. Sent it inside to Graham. Graham just set up Gurr for the tap-in. Lovely goal.
Yeah, and it could have just been level moments earlier with a thundering shot from Clark from Millwall crashing off the bar. But, yeah, 2 minutes later, the Addicts are 2-0 up, and again, thoroughly deserved. We should be winning this game comfortably and put a bit of daylight between us and them now.
Unselfish work from Kit Graham in the middle there, but I think when you have a goal record like hers, you can afford to be unselfish.
Absolutely, yeah. And there was that moment, I mean, where you thought you'd lost it, thought the chance had gone. But, you know, to be fair, they remained calm in the six-yard box, passed it amongst themselves, and lovely. It was quite an easy finish in the end.
Ooh. And Millwall have just hit the bar, and again, and a bit of a let-off there for Katie Starter, but Charlton have packed it away. Just before the break here in the first minute of added time, it's 3-0 now. Lizza Juppie, the player we picked out as the star performer earlier on, has just smacked one from distance, possibly asked a couple of questions of the goalkeeper there, but Liz didn't mind as that nestled into the back of the net.
Yeah, no messing around. These Charlton girls haven't heard that we don't like playing our rivals, do they? Because they've been utterly dominant from start to finish. You'd argue 3-0 is a bit generous, really. We could be even more ahead. And, yeah, total domination, really. Despite the fact Millwall have had a couple of chances, we've been bossing this game. And, yeah, fantastic strike from long range.
Don't buy a ticket to the lottery. Tell you're not going to win it, and that's exactly what Liz did there.
Oh, yes, indeed. And she deserves it as well. She's been a standout player. And just before half-time, killer goal. They're a little bit worried that this might be a tight game, but if they carry on the second half like this, it could be a walkover.
There we go, the half-time whistle's just gone here at the Valley. Charlton Athletic women 3-0 to the good against the Lionesses. The final score here at the Valley, Charlton 3, Millwall 0, as it was at half-time. A more sombre second half, but Charlton got the job done before the break, really, didn't they?
Yeah, I was about to say, they'd done all their hard work in the first 45 minutes and relaxed in the second half. Still the better side, deserved the win, backed up the win that they got against them earlier in the season as well. And yeah, great for them to come to a stadium like the Valley in front of over 600 fans and get a solid 3-0 result. So really pleased for them.
Edges them back into within almost touching distance of the top two, 5 points in it again. I mean, it's always going to be an outside chance, but they keep getting wins like this. They're going to put pressure on Man United and Spurs.
Yeah, it's a tough ask to try and close the gap, but performances like that won't do them any harm. Actually, the big one is probably the next home game for Man United at the Oakwood. If they can get anything out of that, then it'll put real pressure on the top two. You never know.
Well, there we go. Final score here at the Valley. Charlton 3, Millwall 0. Let's see if we can get some interviews with the manager and perhaps a player as well. Liz, 3-0 win over Millwall. Had the job done by half-time in the end.
Yeah, I guess we did, but we came out as well, just making sure that we don't like drop our level after half time. We had to take our chances. Like you said, they hit the crossbar twice, so they could have had two goals in that first half. So I think we were clinical when we had our chances. Could have scored more, but we did enough. We scored enough.
And great to play in front of a big crowd here at the Valley.
Yeah, no, it's really nice under the floodlights, big pitch, good atmosphere, so it's good to play, entertain the crowd.
I guess you hope you put on a display that we'll see a few more of them come down to the Oakwood to see a few games.
Yeah, 100%, that's why we do it. Hopefully they've enjoyed it and we can get more fans coming. We've got 6 games left. It'll be great to get them behind us. We've got important 6 games left because we're still pushing, trying to fight for promotion.
Because so. that result closes the gap on Man U to 5 points, and that's your next game as well, so it doesn't come much bigger now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, we've got to go to training, we've got a big week ahead, and hopefully we can get a result at Man United. I think we gave them a good game when we went out there, and then obviously, like you said, that game got called off. And now we've had a bit of a break, so hopefully after this we've created a bit of a buzz again and we just train hard and can go into it.
The fact that we got a win was positive. The fact that we got, I think, a decent crowd, I don't know how many we got, but it felt like there was a good crowd here. And for us, it was just about getting a game. So getting back to playing football in a competitive environment, that's pleasing. The fact that we won, that was the most pleasing aspect. But a lot of things that we can do better, I think we need to in the next five games.
Of course, the importance of the result takes you back to within 5 points of Man United, of course, your next opponents as well. So you're certainly not out of this promotion race yet.
No, we've. I think the Aston Villa result has made it difficult for us, but everything's still in our hands. They've got to come to us. Obviously, with everything that's gone on with the previous fixture, it's going to be a spicy affair, if I'm being honest, and that's something that we've got to try and relish. We've got a few weeks to build up to that game. We can't get anything other than a win. So at least we know exactly how we need to approach the game, what we need to go for, and I think that they're going to have a tough game coming to us. And it's actually been a difficult time for the club, and there's a lot of girls in the dressing room. You know, I myself personally and a lot of the staff knew Jordan, and today, of course, we played for the 3 points, but there was something more to the game for us, and we spoke about it in the build-up. We spoke about it before the game, that we were playing for a bigger cause today, and you know, I'm sure she's looking down and thinking it was a good performance from us, and we're pleased that we were able to score 3 goals, win the game, and you know, thankful that the family allowed us to use this game to pay tribute to Jordan, and you know, that we've got to be thankful for.
There we go, our audio diary of our trip to watch the Cheltenham Athletic women beat Millwall by 3-0 here at the Valley on Wednesday evening. An enjoyable day if you want to get down to watch and play against Man United down at the Oakwood. That's not this Sunday, but the one after. And that's a huge game. If Cheltenham can get 3 points there, they'll be right back in the mix for the top two and promotion to the Super League. Right, Saturday, the Addicts travelling to Bristol Rovers, the Mem. I caught up with Tom from the Gascast podcast to find out a little bit about the Bristol Rovers side. It's not been the best season. They've had a couple of good results in the week, then, and in fact, they won at Gillingham since we've had this this interview as well. But overall, it's not been the easiest season for the Gas.
No, absolutely not. No, we've been right down there pretty much all of the season. I think it kind of just got off to a bad start with our summer work in the transfer window. On paper, we made some really good signings. Like, we got Ed Upson from MK Dons. We got Alex Rodman from Shrewsbury, who had done really well the season before. Same with Stefan Payne from Shrewsbury. And we all thought, yeah, like, we've got a kind of top half budget. And with a bit of, like, Daryl Clark overachievement, maybe we can have a kind of tilt at the top six. Pretty much from the off, that was obviously not going to happen. We really struggled. The players that came in underperformed. It didn't help that one of Daryl's signings at left back, who's now fit, Terry Combs-Dennis, wasn't fit. We signed him from Huddersfield.
Yeah, he used to play for us.
Sorry, say it again.
He used to play for Cheltenham. He was for our youth academy, yeah.
Yeah, he's mint. But yeah, we kind of got him quite cheap from Huddersfield because he was injured, thinking a bit of a gamble kind of thing. But for whatever reason, we didn't kind of get a... We either gambled on him coming in too early, kind of being fit too soon, and didn't get a proper replacement in or a backup. So we ended up with a youth player called Kelly, and then we had a Joe Martin from, I think, Stevenage for a while as well. He's a League Two player. It's an odd kind of little position there, but that was quite symptomatic of our summer business. It just meant that we struggled all season. We had a partnership up front of Tom Nichols and Stefan Payne. Tom Nichols, we signed for good money from Peterborough and has scored, I think, about 4 goals in 60, something like that. He's been a bit of a dud. He's come into form a little bit lately, but yeah, from a purely goal scoring record, he's been shocking. Mm. And then that kind of cost Daryl his job just before Christmas, just before January transfer window. And then we got Graham Coughlin in, who was our old defensive coach. And I don't know how he's doing it, and I'm not sure he knows how he's doing it, but we have gone on an incredible run. And we are like sixth in the form table at the moment. I think a couple of things helped him. One, he did really, really good business in January. He moved on Stefan Payne in a kind of quirk of the rules because he'd already played for Shrewsbury. He could only go back to Shrewsbury, and we managed to offload him there. We ended up getting in Johnson Clark Harris from Coventry, Abu Ogogo from Coventry, and Tariq Holmes Dennis has come back to fitness all at the kind of same time. So our form has turned right around. I mean, we're not massive. We're still right down there. I mean, we've had back-to-back league wins, but we're still 1 point clear of the relegation zone kind of thing. But we've definitely turned a corner and are kind of feeling a little bit more optimistic about our chances of staying up. Whereas before under Daryl, I had us nailed on 100% to go down. So that's the kind of turnaround Graham's managed to make.
Yeah, it probably helps as well in terms of the relegation battle. That it's so tight. I mean, before Tuesday evening's games, you can go up to 12th and Wickham, and they're only 5 points above the relegation zone. So there's a lot of other potential teams that could slip up as well and help.
Yeah, we played Scunthorpe on Saturday, and beating them meant that we were only like 2 points away from them, something like that. They're like on the brink now as well. The annoying thing on the flip side of that of being so close is that we won on Saturday, everyone else around us won. So we didn't really move that much. I think Oxford slipped below us in the end. But yeah, it's getting really squeaky down there. You can throw a blanket over the teams down there, definitely.
Obviously, in the last few years, they've been down to non-league for 1 year, and then came back up. So, I mean, do Rovers feel like they're sort of finding their level again now? Because after that difficult couple of years, lower end of League One, is that their natural level? Do the fans expect a little bit more from them? Really,
I'd say this is probably our level. We are a bit hamstrung because of the men. We can't, you know, do the nice events, and it's quite a small ground, so we can't get the, you know, the big attendances that Charlton can, and that kind of thing. I think before we went into non-league, we'd kind of been bumbling around the bottom of League Two for quite a while, and just suddenly that trapdoor went, and it was at the time painful. But looking back at it, it's probably been a blessing in disguise. We got rid of a lot of the deadwood. Daryl took over. Those back-to-back promotions were, you know, some of the best times we've seen in years at Rovers. So now we're kind of bottom end, mid-table League One. I think that until the stadium's sorted out and we can kind of get those... I hate that football's so much about money nowadays, but it is... until we can get those kind of all year round kind of revenue streams and more people through the gates and all that kind of stuff, I think we're going to be stuck here. Mm. We might get like a fluky into the Championship for one or two seasons like Burton, but I think this is pretty much our level now.
Mm. And now looking ahead to Saturday then, obviously, as we said, we're talking before the Tuesday evening games, but in terms of that decent run of form that both sides are on, how do you see it going? Obviously, plenty to play for both of them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a relegation six-pointer actually on Tuesday night against Gillingham away, which we always do badly against. So if we got a win there, we would be flying, considering we've won our last two league games. It really depends how Charlton play. If teams come to the men, we've had like Wickham come here and do it where they'll sit back, frustrate us, time waste, like horribly time waste. And we've really struggled to kind of break down teams like that. If you come and you play football, like Sunderland did on in the Cup on Tuesday, last Tuesday, I think it'll be a good game. Even though we lost 2-0, we did have if we'd taken our chances, we might have been able to get a different result. But I mean, it's Sunderland. They've got £4 million worth of Will Grigg on the pitch, you know. But yeah, it is, as long as Charlton comes to play, I think it'll be a great game. I think we'll probably lose, but it will be a good game to watch.
If I put you on the spot now, the Bristol Rovers, are they staying up this season?
Considering I've already said we're 100% down and I get mercilessly mocked by all my mates for it, I'd say 60% up.
So there we go. That's Tom from the gas car saying that he's 60% up there, that Bristol Rovers will stay up. I mean, as we were saying, we were talking before they actually played on Tuesday evening. They did go and win at Bristol Rovers by a goal to nil. Clark Harris with the goal in the 57th minute. Yeah, so they are looking good. I mean, to stay up now, but it is so tight in that bottom half. Vital Charlton even mentioned actually that Clark Harris will be a handful on Saturday, but I think coming up against our defence will be different gravy for him. I mean, we know he's got a fair few goals, hasn't he, recently, Clark Harris, as Tom mentioned there. But we've got Naby Sarr, so, you know, it's going to be Bristol Rovers nil.
Yeah, he's a big...
just case for how many we're going to get, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a big physical presence, and I can't see us sitting behind the ball, to be honest.
No. I think Tom was being sort of, some teams will come to you in League One and sit behind the ball, but obviously I don't expect we'll be doing that whatsoever. Now, obviously, Lee Bowyer had his press day today, looking ahead to that Bristol Rovers game. Obviously, after Tuesday night as well, we've got that 11-point cushion. But Bowyer says still he will not say that a playoff place has been secured just yet.
No, football's crazy. For as quick as that we've got that gap could easily get closing. So, not really looking behind. Like, I haven't looked behind all season. That's never been a focus of mine. It's always been up the top, you know. So all we're going to do now is just keep trying to win games. And when we've got maybe 4 or 5 games left, then have a look and see where we are and see what possibilities there are. So for me, there's a lot more to change between now and the end of the season. Look at us last season, we had 10 games to go. Everyone wrote us off. We was in 10th, I think, and we made the playoffs. So there's an hell of a lot of football to be played.
You talked after Tuesday's win against Burton of the team digging in and grinding out results between now and the end of the season. Is that going to be the key to success?
Yeah, and Saturday's going to be another one. Saturday's going to be tough. They're a good side. They're a completely different side to what we played at home. Watching them against Sunderland in the Cup, I thought he was the better side by far in the first half. And that Sunderland got a goal late first half, early second half, and the game was over. But that they press quick, they've got good movement off the ball, they pass the ball. Completely different side to what we played earlier on. So, it's going to be tough. Conditions are going to be hard. Like our game on Tuesday, the heavy pitch, it's going to be the same up there. It's going to be a hard game for sure.
You've got an international break coming up. You're not involved Saturday week. Is that going to help with any problems of fatigue within the squad?
Yeah, that will help. And I'm glad we're getting that break so we can give them a bit of a rest and a few days to recharge their batteries and then come back for Bradford and have a real push to the end of the season. So yeah, that's going to be good for us, because you see Tuesday we was tiring, and but we grinded it out and we got the 3 points, and if we can do that on Saturday, and then that'd be a perfect week for us, and then we can enjoy our break.
How do you cope with that as a manager? Do you give the players extra days off?
Yeah. They'll have 4 days off. Win, lose or draw, they'll have 4 days off. And we done it on the last window as well. And then they came back and we were flying. So that's the plan. At the end of the day, they're human, you know, they're human beings, and they're putting everything in. And they need to recharge. That's a fact. I know that from when I was playing myself. So yeah, they'll have their break and they've deserved it.
Did you pick up any further injuries on Tuesday night?
No, just a lot of tired legs. Obviously, Joe was ill. Still not the best at the moment. So, no, there was no injuries, but just a lot of fatigued players.
Is Joe going to be available to you on Saturday, do you think?
I don't know. We're going to have to see how he is. He's still not the best today. He's got tablets. So, we're hoping that they start working sooner rather than later. He's been taking them since Tuesday, so yeah, we'll have to see how he goes over the next 24 hours.
And Christian Bielik, is he available to you on Saturday?
Another one that we have to assess and see how he goes. We're going to try and get him back out on the training pitch either today or tomorrow, and then we'll just have to see. Like, obviously, he came off with hamstrings, so we think it might be more neural, but we won't know until we actually put him out.
The club captain Jason Pearce was on the bench on Tuesday. Is he ready to return if needed?
Yeah, he was ready Tuesday, but Nabby's been excellent. Competition for places, and when you've got your captain sitting there who's your leader, it's not a bad person to have in reserve, is it? So yeah, he'll have to wait his time, but yeah, it's good to have him back around the group.
So there we go. Bowyer, you're looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to the Memorial Ground to take on Bristol Rovers. Ray Bates has just tweeted, great show, gents, but not quite the same without the Roland Rant section. I'm sure, give it a week. I'm sure there'll be something else coming up. Right, so looking ahead, a couple of question marks there. Isn't it? Obviously, Joe Aribo went off on Tuesday, and I originally assumed it was the tight groin that he was suffering with against Portsmouth that would have taken him off, but actually it was illness, and now it sounds like he might be a potential miss at the moment, so we'll have to do it without him if possibly.
Yeah, and you know how big a loss he is, because since he's come back into the side, it's only 3 or 4 games he's had, I think, but he's looked just different class again. Hasn't taken any time to get back up to speed, got himself a goal already. So yeah, if we are missing him, it'll be a big loss, particularly if Bielik doesn't make it as well. And then we talked about that strength in depth, and suddenly you're looking around and thinking, you know, the likes of Lapsley probably going to get a start. It's a slight drop down, but, you know, Lapsley's a good player and has performed well this season. But you want your best players playing all the time. And as both him and the guy from Bristol said, it's not going to be an easy game just because they're down there. So we need as many of our best players playing as we can. So you'd hope Aribo makes it. We've obviously got 2 weeks break after that. So if we can just get some of these players who perhaps are aching and tired from the back-to-back games this week, just get them through one more 90 minutes and then we can have a bit of a break.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, because I would say Williams and Bielik are both... well, I think it sounds like Williams is probably likely to be out. Mm. Bielik was a bit touch and go. I think they would have seen if they could have got him through training Thursday, Friday. So those two are question marks as well. So it could be a pretty new look midfield, really, compared to what we've had over the last few weeks.
Yeah, you could see Prattley might get a game, Marshall might get a game. So yeah, it'll be different, but it's a time for the chaps to put a performance in and try and keep that place, because you know they sit there moaning that they're not playing. Mm. Well, they're going to have an opportunity.
Well, Fossey, one of them, of course, if Williams out injured, he played, started against Burton on Tuesday, hit the bar early on. How did you rate his overall performance?
He's not the same, but I mean, I feel sorry for him because I still don't think this narrow formation suits him. Mm. I think he's better coming out from out wide, which is where he played last year. But he just needs to adapt his game, and it's not just working for him at the moment. Same as Marshall, it took him a while to try and adapt, and it's just not a system that suits Tariq, for me anyway, in my opinion.
Yeah, Tom, we saw Josh Parker start against Burton as well after Igor had started the last couple. Again, what did you make of him on Tuesday, and which way would you go with a decision to make as to who will partner Lyle Taylor?
I don't think he was brilliant, but he wasn't bad either. Got himself in some good positions, held the ball up okay. But for me, Igor's looking all right. Again, you know, he's not Carlin, but last few games, I think Igor's form has improved. I just think you saw how leggy he was at the end of the Portsmouth game. There was no way he was going to play again Tuesday, but with another week under his belt, you would hope, or personally, I would hope to see him start back up with Lyle on Saturday. I think Parker's looked all right when he's come off the bench. He's got a little bit of pace to him, and he adds something slightly different. I'm just not sure I want him starting at the moment. So if Igor's fit, then him for me.
Hmm. So, I mean, let's have some predictions. Should be. I mean, Bristol Rovers, as we said, won their last three now. Cheltenham on a resurgent little run of form themselves, but perhaps suffering a little bit with tiredness. Tom, how do you see it going?
I think we'll win. I'm going to say 2-0.
Yeah? No. Yeah. Who's your goal scorers?
Lyle and Paddy.
Big Paddy B.
1-0 Saar.
1-0 Saar, yeah. 25-yard free kick again, or header?
32 yards,
yeah, specifically.
Yeah, if that happens...
I'll jump off a building if that happens. Yeah, jeez, every, I would want to be a millionaire.
Every time there's a free kick, we're going to have to get someone to measure it, just in case it happens. Right, we've run out of time. On this evening's big match preview, don't forget we'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens down in the West Country against Bristol Rovers. Just a couple of other points of interest I just want to add as well. I'm still fundraising for the London to Amsterdam bike ride. If you go over to my Twitter page, or to Nathan's as well, he's doing it as well, you can click on our link and donate to raise money for prostate cancer. Don't forget you can sign up for the Upbeats walk as well. You can raise money for the Upbeats. We're all going to do that as well, I believe, so mm-hmm. Something else to look forward to as well. Right, thanks for listening to Cheltenham Live, the big match preview. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Tom and Nate, thanks for coming in.
Much cheers, love, mate.
I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of this evening's Cheltenham Live. We'll be back here on Sunday, hopefully with 3 points in the bag after our trip to Bristol Rovers. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.